Welcome to the podcast, Agia Goes Viral. We here at the Arab-German Young Academy of Sciences and Humanities, Agia for short, invite you to join us as we explore the diverse implications of COVID-19 for science and society at large. In each episode, Arab and German Agia members and alumni from different scientific disciplines come together to discuss research on and amidst the coronavirus pandemic. In today's podcast episode, Agia co-president, Professor Maha Nasser from Egypt, and Agia steering committee member, Professor Mark Ringel from Germany, talk about the current coronavirus vaccines and how to stay healthy during the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Maha Nasser is associate professor for pharmaceutics and industrial pharmacy at Ain Shams University in Egypt. Mark Ringel is professor for economics at Nürtingen-Gieslingen University in Germany.
Hi Maha, how are you doing?
Hi, Mark. I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Let me ask you, how's the corona situation in Egypt?
Well, we really have lots of precautionary measures which have been implemented. There are lots of awareness campaigns on TV and on the radio. Also, people are limiting the gatherings, outings, and even the shops and restaurants. They are now closing at earlier times. But how about the situation in Germany?
Well, it sounds pretty much the same, but it's rather regional replies. So meaning that depending on the federal state where you are, you have different regulations. So it's pretty much people moving to home office and teleworking. We've got homeschooling with the kids, which isn't super cool in terms of all the people here using the internet. But well, I mean, it started off with a vaccination, so at least that should give us some glimmer of hope here. Speaking about health, I mean, you're a pharmacist. I always wanted to ask you when I meet you again, what's your recipe to stay healthy? We should talk about positive things.
So I probably will not sound as a pharmacist right now, but please do stay away from medications. Just to shift to the immune boosting vitamins, for example, like vitamins A, D, E, and C. And the minerals such as zinc is also very important. And all of those can be found in fruits, vegetables, cereals, and meat. And my own secret recipe is having a teaspoonful of honey and black seed oil in the morning, which are both very rich in antioxidants and immune-boosting compounds. And Mark, also don't forget to work out, because sports, they definitely boost the immune system. And personal favorite really is yoga, which lucky for me, I get to practice a lot given my flexible working schedule because of COVID-19. It's really important for the body and mind.
I'll try to start off with the yoga, and I certainly will remember the honey and black seed. Well, I try to do a bit of office workouts and get myself an active lunch break. So what I'm doing is that rather in terms of staying in and just eating lunch, I have a quick sandwich and then go for a sort of active workout. So doing a bit of jogging in the lunch break in order to get a break. I think that's also the question of as you say, I mean, getting that sort of mentally right and getting yourself mentally fit. And I've discovered some pretty nice online classes from US universities, which are often for free. And these are really cool. And really an inspiration because they come from very different disciplines. And certainly something to really triggered my appetite for doing more interdisciplinary work. But here again, I mean, that's of course always down to the question on when can we meet again, which will probably be a question of vaccination. But let me ask you, I mean, there have been several vaccines which have been developed and are available now. So from your perspective, how promising are these?
Well, let me assure you, because I get asked this question so many times. So Mark, let me assure you that. So just let me tell you that literally all the released vaccines are effective. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been released. So the difference is that they differ actually in their composition. And being different in composition, they are different in the way they act. For example, one of the vaccines is created by inactivating the virus. So you get to terminate its toxicity, but you retain its ability to create an immune response in the body. Other vaccines, they contain some material from the virus itself, like, for example, RNAs or protein subunits. But in all cases, all the COVID-19 vaccines, they help our body develop the immunity to the virus, because after vaccination with any type of these vaccines, the body will be able to produce some memory cells, which actually remember how to fight the virus if the person gets infected.
That's really interesting. And thank you for sorting the thing out. I think it's good to know, because right now here in Germany, you have many people who are really skeptical about the vaccines and don't really want to be vaccinated. Would you think it's the same thing in Egypt? Are people afraid of vaccination?
No, for Egypt and for several Arab countries, people are very anxious to get the vaccines because they are dying to return back to their normal life. So the process of vaccination is being in order. But of course, for Egypt, because the population is very high, we have now exceeded 100 million. So the process of vaccination would be slower than other Arab countries, but it's going also in progress like other countries.
I see.
But how is Germany dealing with the current redistribution of the vaccine?
Yeah, I think, we went off pretty well with the infrastructure in terms of setting up vaccination centers across the country. But then it sort of slowed down a little bit due to limited availability of the vaccines. So pretty much the strategy is now to actually go from the oldest and most vulnerable groups of the population down to the rest of the population in a sort of staged approach. So you will have elderly and people presenting risk symptoms, which will be vaccinated first, which is pretty much the German strategy and strategy really throughout many European countries. But with the opening up of schools and young people or children being affected, I mean, that there are loads of debates starting off, you know, if that is really the right order to proceed. So, for example, in Belgium, you have a huge debate on, you know, shouldn't this order be changed and shouldn't it be first, you know, school children and young people being vaccinated so that they can actually benefit of their life, because being locked up and doing homeschooling all day does a lot of psychological damage, apparently. So there's a big debate in terms of, you know, who should get the vaccination first. But how about the situation in the Arab countries? Are you following the situation there?
Yeah, and also the categorization is almost the same as in Germany, where the privilege in the vaccination is first given to the elderly and the people at risk and those who are working in risky professions, for example, like the medical professions. So we almost have the same categorization like in Germany as well.
It's interesting that we end up with the same thing. But I think that also Agia is running a project on COVID-19 response, isn't it? I think that is something in the work group of health, which they initiated in 2020. Do you know the status of the project?
Yes, exactly. I'm one of the members of the Health and Society Working Group, and we are conducting a project in which we are screening lots of drugs and material and natural compounds. Either we administer them as such or in the form of nanoparticles, and we are testing their antiviral properties on the coronavirus. And the microbiological evaluation is being conducted in collaboration with the Institute Pasteur in Tunisia. And we have started the work last year, and this year we are also continuing this work. And we are now waiting for the final results from the Institute Pasteur. But what about your projects for 2021?
Well, you know, my focus is pretty much climate and energy economics and policies. So with all the home office, homeschooling, people have pretty much moved, from one energy consumption source, so public buildings, office buildings, to home, which shifts energy consumption. So what I want to do is to actually look into statistical outreach to follow up on how these changes work in terms of, you know, do we consume more or is it just a consumption shift? And the official energy balances do not really give us that. So I want to decompose the official statistics in order to see what Corona does for us in terms of energy consumption and actually develop energy saving indicators for the demand side, so for energy saving at home.
Wow, that's really great. I've also heard that the EU has nominated you as a Climate Pact ambassador. So can you explain to me what is this?
That's a pretty interesting thing, I find. I mean, they've noticed that European policies pretty much work top down. So meaning that it's always, you know, Brussels, the European Union, talking to the member states of the European Union. So instead of having that, they wanted to do a different approach and set up this climate pact, which in fact is a sort of bottom-up activities to support climate change. So everybody can do a contribution to climate change. And the role of climate pact ambassador is actually to incite, well, to inform people and incite people to deliver on climate policies. And of course, I mean, that's what is called the climate pledge. So you can by now, you know, log and register your personal climate pledge, which in fact is really interesting because, I mean, here again, climate is not just, you know, the natural sciences. It's pretty much, you know, marketing that. So psychology, our behavior is driven by the past. So that's the question on, you know, how is history developing? And yeah, I think that that's just really interesting because it brings all of that together. I mean, just imagine if we did it within AGIA and asked our members to just report back on their favorite idea to fix the planet. I think that's a series from the BBC, Fixing the Planet. And just think what we could do if we, all the AGIA members, you know, get out our favorite ideas to fix the planet. I think that alone would generate loads of new projects and interests.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. And please do count me in this project.
I will, definitely, Maha. It's been really a pleasure again to talk to you, Maha, and hope to see you around soon.
Thank you so much, Mark. Likewise, and hope to see you soon physically. So stay healthy and safe and take care of yourself.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the podcast, AGIA Goes Viral. You can find all of the podcast episodes on our website, agia.info. That's agya.info. Until next time, please stay healthy and safe.